This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Thursday morning, November 21st, 2024. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. On the app, by podcast, or on social media, we appreciate you starting your day right here. And when I say beautiful day to have you here up north, I mean, you know, the requisite quotation marks for this time of year where it's snowing all throughout the eastern half of Wisconsin right now. So please drive with care. It is working its way out. It will change to rain from north to south in most spots. But until then, again, use all due caution, especially given how many of the wee ones are out waiting for a school bus this morning or walking to school as well. I got a question for you. Would you vote for me? Okay, fine. Let me ask this again. Would you vote for me and Greg? Would you do that? There's a way for that to happen. And Greg doesn't even know that he's on the ballot.
What?
Here's how this works.
What's happening?
You know that there are... What would you call the alternative newspapers around the area that are kind of like city pages, or up here it's called Volume One, full of arts information and shows and features, things like that. Well, here in the Chippewa Valley, there's one called Volume One, and every year they have a reader survey for the best of the Chippewa Valley.
What?
With about, 9,000 different categories that you can vote for, favorite place to get a pie and, things like that.
Yeah.
And there is buried in there best radio show.
What?
And so if you were to go to volume1.org, again, volume1.org. And now it's one of those where, again, you can't just willy-nilly go in there. You actually have to create an account. The account is free. And it's not even really an account. You just have to go sign in either through your Google account or your Facebook account. But if you do that, you can then vote for these Best of the Chippewa Valley matters. And if you happen to think this might be the best radio show in the Chippewa Valley, much less any place else, I mean, I appreciate Tony's sentiment writing on YouTube just now. Not the best of Wisconsin? Aim higher, Pat. Well, we don't have that yet. We don't have a best of Wisconsin. But he is voting 100% for Pat and Greg. So, Tony, we appreciate that. We've got one vote in the hopper.
So what you're saying is we are part of a award-nominated radio show. So far.
There you go.
We start with that. It's just a great thing to be nominated. Great thing to be invited, everybody.
I was going to do that. It's an honor just to be nominated. And I thought, it wasn't so much a nomination. Like, they put together a list of here's who's all on the radio. And, there are plenty of shows out there that have been out there for a long time. So I'm not going to, overpromise anything. But, hey, why wouldn't we toot our own horn? So...
We have something like that here in Milwaukee. I think it's the Shepherd Express Best of, and it's like also just a ton of, and the Laughing Tap is actually nominated for Best Comedy Club, which is about time because they haven't had us in there for a very long forever. And but like you can also vote for Best Strip Club.
Wait a minute. They have Best Strip Club as well as Best Comedy Club. And all right, Best Club Sandwich. I'm probably more qualified to vote for that. But hey, whatever works. So, well, good luck. So,
thank you very much. And good luck to us.
Good luck to us.
May the odds ever be in our favor.
Yay, us. All right, coming up on the program today, we're going to talk to Kia Vakil. Now, I know. It's Thursday. Key is normally here on Fridays, but if I'd thought ahead of time, I'd have some carousel music playing right now because the post-election vacation carousel is spinning again. Joe Zepecki is off this week. He'll be back next week. No, next week's Thanksgiving, so no, he won't. And then Kia is not available tomorrow because he's starting his break, so we're hearing from him today. And so tomorrow we'll have some other folks that I'll tell you about in a little bit here. So we're going to talk to Kia Vakil, and we're going to talk about the new Congress and whether it can be effective at implementing the whole right-wing Project 2025 agenda, or is it going to get bogged down in intra-party squabbling, courtroom setbacks, maybe an inability to figure out how to pay for everything they want without looking painfully obvious as big deficit diggers? So we'll talk to Kia about that coming up. We'll hear from Congressman Derek Van Orden as well on the House Ethics Committee, the Republicans on there shamefully deciding to protect Matt Gaetz and not release the report about his many sexual improprieties that would disqualify him to be the Attorney General of the United States. And as others have said, I can promise you, if that report fully exonerated him, it would have been released. So much like the Fifth Amendment is not meant to incriminate you by taking it, this isn't exactly the same thing. And withholding that report is probably doing almost as much damage to Matt Gaetz as, letting it go. We're also going to talk about Toxic Tom striking again, because folks up north have had the long-running misfortune to be represented by someone who seemingly can't stop, won't stop until more of the Northwoods is bulldozed, paved over, or dug up. Tom Tiffany, when he was in the state legislature, led the charge to weaken pollution rules for mining. Now he's helping a right-wing industry group come into Oneida County and rewrite their long-term plan for economic development and land conservation so that it's harder for residents to keep their land free from future development, mining, and so forth. So we will talk a bit about that. It's Thursday, so Luke Mathers will be in here as well. Brittany Merlot may or may not be back from her post-election break, so we'll see if we visit with her about an hour from now. Today's history lesson is coming up, and so much more. But at 6:13, let's check temperatures around Wisconsin at the bus stop, and they include here in Chippewa Falls, 31 degrees. Wausau's at 32, La Crosse is 32, Amory 31. Rapids 31, Green Bay 34, Madison 29, Waukesha 27, and it's 31 right now at Radio Park in Racine, where we find Mr. Bach. Are you getting the snow there that we're seeing across other swaths of the eastern half of the state?
Very little. It's a dusting.
Yeah, so that's really all we got here because we're west of the storm, the way it's rotating right now. So we got the dusting. And so we have to give the obligatory, oh, that's good tracking snow for gun deer season. Starts this Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I live in the suburbs of Kenosha.
Oh, like you don't have deer. Come on. But yeah, probably not nearly as many hunters as we're going to have around here. Yeah. Where, again, I remind folks, I am extremely pro-hunting. It's just that you can't ask me to go along with you. And it's not even that I have any kind of hesitation about, deer being killed and harvested. It's that I can't be quiet.
Tell them the story, Pat. Tell them the story.
About my dad trying a couple of different times to take young Pat out into the woods and eventually being asked to go back and sit in the pickup truck for the rest of the day. Because somebody, Dad, what's that? Hey, do you think that's a bear, Dad? What is that? Are we going to get eaten by a bear? What is that?
Do you have siblings?
Yes, I'm the oldest. I've got two sisters.
Are they also as loquacious as you, or are you the one who talks and the other two are just like?
I am. Well, they're not shrinking violets by any stretch of the imagination, yeah. But I do more yapping than the two of them combined, yes. and for folks who might have missed it earlier, the exact same story with my dad taking me fishing. Same thing. was brought right back to the dock. Like, you go, I'm going to continue fishing. You go talk to anybody else that you want to talk to.
Son, you know I love you.
You know I love you, but we're not hunting and fishing. So that's so for those folks who are, first off, A, good luck. B, be safe. C, if you're taking kids along, cut them a little more slack, or you know, bring duct tape. I don't know, whatever it is that you have to do to make the tradition last more than a year or two, you can get this done. All right. Well, for folks who might want to say maybe there's equal time needed for people who said, no, maybe, Pat, you should learn to shut up out there. 855-75-CIVIC is the number. 855-752-4842. Or put some comments in the sections of Facebook and YouTube where you find this fine radio show. Let's see. What's in the Up North News Daily newsletter today? Christina Lurie puts that together. And I had it in front of me just a second ago. Oh, yeah, this one should have stuck with me, Greg, because, again, we're getting into Thanksgiving season. But we're also, Christina has been working during November to highlight different Wisconsin angles to the Guinness Book of World Records. And there is a world record for the fastest time to drink 1 liter of gravy.
A sanctioned Guinness?
Yes. Yes. For drinking gravy the fastest. So that record was first in Wisconsin, belonging to Stephen Ruppel of Wausau, who back in 2018 set it at 1 minute and 12 seconds. And then he lost the record for a while. And then 4 years ago, he reclaimed the world title, drinking a liter of gravy in 38.22 seconds. And I love the precision, 38.22 seconds. Like, this is the Olympic swimming gold medal match, you know? But he did it, so congratulations.
Good job, you. I mean, yeah. Your doctor must have built a wing on his house because of you.
Trust me, doctors build houses because of poor decisions all the time.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
That works out just fine.
Good gravy.
Tony writes, very good. Tony writes, how thick does the gravy have to be? That's a very fair question.
Let me consult my manual.
Yeah. We'll check the got their specs on these things. Tony also notes that the Volume 1 contest has a category for most luscious radio voice.
Jeez.
But he notes neither Pat nor Greg are an option. Rigged, he says.
Stop the steal.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate that very
much. I appreciate you, Tony.
All right. When we come back, we'll unpack some of the news on this Thursday morning, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network, where you can catch what we do on the web, upnorthnewswi.com. Get that newsletter. Click subscribe in the top banner. Back in a moment.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Dan, in today's history lesson for one of their landmark albums that was released on this day in history. So it's just all old man radio, apparently, today. More about that coming up. What do the following Wisconsin communities have in common? Edgar, Potosi-Cassville, Grantsburg, Lamira, Stratford, Wrightstown, Racine, Baldwin-Woodville, Waukesha, Green Bay, Rice Lake, Slinger, Bayport, and Muskego. All of those places have schools that are in the state high school football tournament, and that gets going today. And Jimmy Costco will be joining us 1 hour from now to tell us more about the state high school tournament, so stick around for that here on Up North News Radio. Let's check some other sports at 6:22 here. Let's see, we've got the Bucks were in action. Giannis had 41 points as the Bucks beat the Chicago Bulls last night 122-106. Brooke Lopez scored 21. Damian Lillard had 20 points and 10 assists. A.J. Green added 18 more to help the Bucks win for the fourth time in five games following that horrible 2-8 start. The Bucks continue their homestand tomorrow in that NBA Emirates Cup in-season tournament. They're doing the group play right now where they're in a group with four other teams. They've played one of those teams so far. They're going to play the Indiana Pacers tomorrow. This is something that happens like every Tuesday and Friday for the next few weeks before they do the knockout rounds of these things. So Indiana will be on Friday. And then Saturday, just another regular season game against the Charlotte Hornets. I believe the Badger women's volleyball team was in action as well. Yes, they were. Here it is now. The sixth-ranked Badger women's volleyball team playing at home last night needed all five sets but defeated 16th-ranked Minnesota at the Fieldhouse. So the Badgers will head to Lincoln for a rematch with second-ranked Nebraska on Saturday night. That match will begin at 7 p.m. and will be broadcast on the Big Ten Network. One other note I wanted to make about the newsletter this morning. Again, sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. I talked about drinking gravy. To get to something more traditional here, some more did you know about Thanksgiving. Basically, 50% of all the turkeys sold in the U.S. are consumed on a single day. That would be Thanksgiving. Americans spend about $96 million on stuffing every Thanksgiving. 40% of the sales of Campbell's Cream of Mushroom Soup happen this week, this coming week of Thanksgiving. 40% of all cream of mushroom sales, 80% of the canned jellied cranberry sauce is sold on Thanksgiving week. I'm gonna talk to Christina Laurie next week more about this, especially since the rumors that she is not a big Thanksgiving dinner fan. Tony, feeling the same way on YouTube, says that's because turkey is trash. But here's a hot take. Stuffing is great year-round. So there we go. Now we're getting into food wars again for Thanksgiving. I always appreciate that.
You listen here, Tony. I appreciate your support. Turkey's not trash. You just have not had turkey made correctly then, because turkey, when made correctly, is a beautiful thing. And I used to hate turkey.
What is that correct thing? What do you think?
It's just made like half the time turkey ends up being dry. It just ends up being really dry. And you have to pour so much gravy on it, maybe a liter of gravy, callback.
Yeah.
That you're not eating turkey anymore. You're just eating gravy with a solid conduit.
With a chunk. Yes.
Yeah. So like and that all comes down to turkey like choosing. And like you can go to a grocery store and get a good turkey, a fresh turkey, like a Whole Foods, which we used to do. This year we're getting our turkey from a turkey farm in Kenosha, or a ranch in Kenosha, and they're selling them. So it's going to be a farm fresh local turkey. So I'm really looking forward to it this year.
Great. And it's so nice. Luke Mathers chimes in bright and early. Tony is wrong.
Yes.
There you go, Tony.
Everybody's
ganging up on you.
Handsome,
already.
Capable, and correct.
Luke Mathers, ladies and gentlemen, and he'll be joining us again at about 7:50 this morning. Over in Washington, the House Ethics Committee, traditionally a bastion of bipartisanship. It's the Ethics Committee. You don't take matters up unless they're serious. You investigate them fully, and if warranted, then you take action. But lately, we've noticed on the House Ethics Committee, kind of like the Audit Committee in the Wisconsin legislature, we've noticed that Republicans are far more likely to play politics now when it comes to protecting some of their own. And that's what we've got now in the House Ethics Committee, as Republicans there voted yesterday against releasing their long-running investigation into former Congressman Matt Gaetz, who is Donald Trump's pick to be nominee for Attorney General of the United States. Gaetz for years has faced allegations of sexual misconduct, sex trafficking, and more. He is trying to secure his embattled nomination to be the nation's top law enforcement officer. But because not a single, all it would have taken was one Republican to vote to release the report. And they all held firm. And as a result, the panel will have to meet again December 5th. And then, even then, it may have to go through some kind of a process before Americans can determine if their attorney general is perhaps a criminal, perhaps a sex criminal. Again, keep in mind, we're about to have a convicted felon sworn in as president of the United States. A CNN reporter caught up with Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden. Now, Derek Van Orden and Matt Gaetz, both Republicans, but they do not necessarily get along. So you're going to hear a little bit of balance here from Derek Van Orden when asked whether the Ethics Committee report should either be released by the committee or if the full House should vote to force the report to be made public.
There might be a vote in the House to release that report. Would you vote to release that report?
I think it's very important that everybody has as much knowledge as possible so that they can make an informed decision.
So it sounds like yes.
That's a yes. So if the rumors are true about Mr. Gaetz's conduct, then there should be referrals to other agencies. And if they're not true, then there's a whole lot of people that owe him an apology.
I promise you, if apologies were needed because this report exonerated Gaetz fully, it would have been released. So Derek Van Orden does not need to do Matt Gaetz any favors on there. And of course, leave it to Lindsey Graham, leave it to a white guy from the South to use this terminology, describing the Ethics Committee push as a lynch mob forming against Matt Gaetz. We will have Kia Vakil for a conversation after this. You're up north.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
All right, welcome back. It is 6:34 on this Thursday morning with Courier Newsroom's Kia Vakil. I know. You're saying, wait, Kia's normally on Friday. Joe Zepecki's on Thursday. But the carousel of post-election vacations is still in full swing, and this would be Mr. Zepecki's week, along with Melissa Baldoff, to take some well-deserved time off post-election. Mr. Vakil here is actually going to start his shortly, so he's available today rather than tomorrow. Tomorrow, we have a special treat, a cornucopia of Courier Newsroom colleagues, so stick around for that. But Kia's here today. That's the important part. Kia, how are you?
Hey, Pat. I am all right. Catching up on some much needed rest and, you know, just gearing up to step back into the new world of politics.
Does this include a trip to your Philly roots?
It does. I will be heading out to Philly for the weekend or for part of the weekend and then stopping over in New York City to see some friends. I'm going to be stepping away from my Los Angeles winter into an East Coast winter for a few days.
Do you get like the full suite of feelings? Like when you first get to Philly, you're like, oh, I miss this place. And then shortly thereafter, it's like, okay, it's time for me to go. And you get to New York and it's like, yeah, I like this place. But then shortly after, it's like, yeah, I got to go. And you get back to LA and you're like, okay, this is home now. Or is it is it some weird mix of all that?
It's a little bit of a mix because I definitely feel, I don't know that I'm ever necessarily like eager to leave Philly or ready. Philly's a lot calmer. New York, I absolutely have that feeling. And I definitely enjoy coming home to LA, but the trek from LAX, which is our airport, to my house can take, you know, upwards of 2 hours if it's in rush hour, which is like the worst way to get home. And really makes you reevaluate your life every time you do it. Why do I live in this place? Is it really worth it? Should I ever fly again? I don't know the answers to those questions, but, you know, I have a lot of friends and family out east that I haven't seen in a while. So I'm being very courageous in dealing with that as I go see them.
Not only those of us of a certain age and above have Neil Diamond lyrics going through our head. LA's fine, but it ain't home. New York's home, but it ain't mine no more. Let's jump into it, and let's jump into it with the news that Republicans in Congress are once again
going to punt on the farm bill. So by way of background, you have the 2018 farm bill. It lasts for 5 years. It's a big thing. It controls all kinds of programs. It expired in 2023 when Republicans were controlling the House. Then they got nothing done. So like, well, we'll punt it to 2024. Well, now here we are in 2024, and they're going to punt it again for another year. And yet, Kia, this gets to the whole notion of they made all these promises during the campaign, like we're going to cut these things, and they still can't really do anything.
No, because at the crux of, you know, there's a tension at the heart of the Republican agenda and the modern party, which is they, you know, the Trump populist movement, which has swallowed the party whole in a lot of ways, you know, runs on, you know, tax cuts for everyone, runs on tariffs, runs on things to try to reshore jobs and, you know, deport foreign workers and really to try to rebuild, you know, the middle class and kind of undo the deindustrialization and the globalization of the last 40 years. But you can't really put the toothpaste back in the tube. And the problem with that plan is that the donors of the Republican Party and a lot of the electeds who, you know, are successfully cosplaying as Trump types, but really have a different agenda. They want to cut food. They want to cut Medicaid. They want to cut SNAP benefits. They want to, they don't support tariffs. They want cheap foreign labor. They, you know, these, there are these two economic groups at odds in the party. And so they may all run on the same thing, which is populism. But then when it comes to the nitty gritty of legislating and appointing people, we're already seeing that tension start to play out between, you know, Trump and, you know, America First populism and the sort of more traditional conservative agenda, which is much more, which is actually much more unpopular than Trump's, frankly, because, you know, there's no demographic that wants to see Medicaid cut dramatically or Medicare and Social Security reined in dramatically. And that is what a lot of Republicans want to do.
Yeah. And then now for some, it's a very cynical thing that they know that these cuts aren't going to go through, but that just gives them something else to run on to say, see, they wouldn't let us get it done this time. But if you send me back, we'll by gum, we will cut it next time, whether it's SNAP benefits that you would find in the farm bill or Medicaid, like you just said, you throw the tariffs on top of that. And it leads to the Trump search for a Treasury Secretary. And how do you find somebody that wants what Trump wants on tariffs, but also doesn't give Wall Street a big collective freakout?
Yeah, that's a really difficult needle to thread because, look, tariffs are, when used strategically, can be effective and smart and a useful tool in the toolbox. When they're just used as a blunt force instrument, a slap a 60% tariff on Chinese goods, a 2,000% tariff on foreign cars from Mexico, that is a little bit, you know, that's going to probably not have the intended effect. And here's the thing is Wall Street hates tariffs. Wall Street, and I'm not suggesting they are right about this, I personally could not give a bleep what Wall Street thinks, but they have a lot of power. They do not like tariffs. They do not like anything that threatens their bottom line or their stock prices. Tariffs will do that because, at least in the short term. And so Trump is famously cares what Wall Street thinks, doesn't want to lower. He famously cares about stock prices. And you can't have both of these. You can't prioritize tariffs and also not have an impact on stock prices. That's just not going to happen. I'm not an economist, but I know enough to know that's extremely unlikely. And so in the jockeying for the Treasury Secretary, you know, we're seeing a lot of contradictory news. We're seeing new candidates. We're seeing a lot of people trying to knife each other for the job. And it's still ongoing. And you're seeing that tension play out there between the more pro-Wall Street crowd, the more pro-tariff crowd, and Trump trying to find someone who will at least say to him that I can do both, even though the reality is you really can't.
No, you can't. And I think when people say, well, wait, aren't they just basically stalling for time? Because, you know, come January 3rd, there will be a new Congress. Republicans will probably control the House as well as the Senate. So with that trifecta plus the Supreme Court, you know, they should be able to do anything they want. Well, then you've got that whole filibuster thing in the Senate, which makes me wonder. And again, I know it's just all speculative at this point, but Trump has really got to be thinking how much he can get done through executive actions that courts will back him up on, and how much Senate Republicans are willing to blow up their cherished filibuster to ram Trump things through. And I think Trump underestimates how much senators from both parties like having that filibuster around as either a useful tool or as a crutch.
Totally. I do not get the sense that the filibuster is going anywhere. I think, you know, they have a trifecta. Like you said, they have the Supreme Court. He'll be able to do executive actions. He can do tariffs without Congress. There is a lot they can do. That said, the House majority is going to be a couple votes. It's going to be pretty much the same as it was the past 2 years, where we saw they couldn't do a damn thing. And, you know, it is, you know, do I think they'll pass a tax cut because of Republicans for corporations primarily? Yeah, they will. Will some of that maybe impact folks, normal folks on the margins? Potentially. Will it also then lead them to cut Medicaid and all these other things to fund it? Almost certainly. And, but the thing is you are going to have a couple votes you can lose as Republicans only in the House. And there are still swing seat Republicans. And if you force them to take a difficult vote, some of them are going to vote no, not on the tax cut, but on other things. And so they don't have as much of a mandate as I think a lot of the popular media has been depicting. Trump's popular vote win is not particularly large now that all the votes from the West Coast are coming in and being counted after, you know, the process out West just takes longer. And I think he clearly is going to run roughshod over the next 4 years. We're seeing the cabinet secretaries he's appointing really just daring Senate Republicans to say no. I don't know how much they will say no. They've shown very little backbone in the past half decade. But, you know, I don't think we're going to see, you know, I would not be surprised if there's a ton of chaos in the Senate and in the House, because this is a party that fundamentally, you know, cannot get things done.
And I think that Democrats will be better prepared than during the first Trump term when, you know, admittedly, there was still kind of a little bit of shock that, you know, this guy is actually the president. And now they've seen what he can do. And the 2017 tax bill that he got passed, you know, they were able to really put some bright, shiny packaging around the cow pie by saying, hey, everybody's going to get a little bit of a tax cut. Well, it turned out to be a very little tax cut compared to the very wealthy. And I don't think they're going to be able to sell that again. I think Democrats and progressives are going to be much more vocal about saying, not only does this guy want to pay for a tax cut by slashing SNAP benefits and Medicaid and everything else, but by the way, it ain't going to be a real tax cut for you. Now, I say all this, but Democratic messaging didn't have a great track record in 2024.
No, and I think, you know, there is going to be, the way I've been thinking about things is Republicans now have full control of the government. They can do, by and large, whatever they want. If they have unanimity in their party, they could pass whatever they want, and they could eliminate the filibuster, do whatever they want. The courts aren't going to stop that. Like, they may do that. They may genuinely do that. I am less certain that they will, because, you know, there is still political gravity at work here. You do still have 435 members of the House up for re-election in 2 years. You do still have enough Republican senators who, you know, at least anonymously want to protect the institution. And I think the other key thing to keep in mind here is that, you know, a lot of their agenda is unpopular. And if the moment they start passing cuts to SNAP and Medicaid, the moment they start passing giant corporate tax cuts, you know, people are going to hear about that. They're not going to be thrilled. And importantly, Trump ran on fixing everything. He ran on, oh, I'm going to lower prices of everything. Your rent's going to be affordable. You're going to make more money. Stock market's going to go up. All these things that, you know, essentially he's promising disinflation, which is not going to happen, or deflation, you know, and, you know, a year or two down the road, when unfortunately rent remains expensive because it's a structural problem, when food remains expensive because it's a structural problem, when, you know, when your wages aren't going up because we don't have enough union protections, there is going to be a subset of voters who went for Trump and went for Republicans who feel jaded and let down by them, because we know he's not going to fix those things. And the Democrats do have to figure out how to actually offer a compelling message, how to get stuff done to reach those voters, both rhetorically and policy wise. And so, you know, heading into 2026 and 2028, they're actually offering a strong economic message and not, you know, not just saying, hey, we're better than Trump.
And then we'll close with, internal party work, which in the Democratic Party means the likelihood of a new DNC chair. We mentioned this week that Wisconsin's Ben Wickler might be in the mix for DNC chair. We've seen a couple of names come up already. And so, Kia, to what degree do you think this is going to be kind of an extended wrestling match between those who said the party did too much to appeal to moderates and should have gone to the left, and those who say the party's got to stop being so far left and has got to cater to more in the middle? In other words, how much navel gazing are we about to get into?
I mean, there's so much navel gazing already happening. And look, it always happens after an election defeat. It's not out of the norm. I do think it's going to be interesting to see how the DNC fight goes. You know, Ben Wickler is someone who does have credibility with both the left and the center. He is one of the rare, you know, political party leaders, state party leaders, who has a very, very strong track record. He, you know, if I were running the decision-making process, I don't know how you'd not consider him strongly. And I think what we're going to see is, yeah, we're seeing a lot of, you know, the center punching the left punching the center. And, you know, I don't think it's as simple as one's right and the other's wrong. I think it's, you know, this was an election about the economy and about inflation and about throwing, you know, the people in charge out that happen to be Democrats. There's also a lot of truths about what people on the left are saying and some truths about what people from the center are saying. And so, you know, I don't know that we're going to reach a tidy conclusion, because that just never happens in politics. But I do think that the race for the chair will be instructive to, you know, what sort of party we're going to have in the future.
Without a doubt. We'll continue to monitor that. Courier Newsroom National Correspondent Kia Vakil. Safe travels. Have a great time. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Back with more after this. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Not Jackson Browne. This is the original by Maurice Williams and the Zodiacs. Stay was the number one song this day in 1961. It is also the shortest ever number one single at just 1:37.
Wow.
And now again, we're going back into practically old-timey radio. But songs like that, another one I can think of is Snowbird by Anne Murray. You always kept some of those really short songs handy in my early radio days, because you had to hit the network news right at the top of the hour.
Yeah.
And you're playing songs all throughout the hour. And we didn't have the computerized, you know, all the toys and gadgets that you youngins have over there, Mr. Bach. You know, you had to use pencil and paper and actual math. And sometimes you're like, wait a minute, didn't we play Stay last hour? Yeah, but we got to hit the network news. you get to hear it again. Thank God for those short songs. This is today's history lesson for this November 21st. The number one hit this day in 1970 was by the Partridge Family.
And this song isn't even 3 minutes. And it's still, like, way longer.
Yes. Yes, it is. There you go, David Cassidy and the rest of the Partridge Family. In a melancholy coincidence, 47 years later to the day, David Cassidy passed away on this day in 2017 at the age of 67 from liver and kidney failure. And again, was a case study in how, for the first however many years afterwards, the guy could not get a job. You know, because of stereotyping and typecasting. And then once you kind of accept that and can poke a little bit of fun at yourself, I remember seeing this with Donny Osmond as well, you know, then you can kind of have that second stage. But it's always a little tough when you've had that that rocket ship rise in show business, and then what are you going to do next?
Especially in one specific genre that's so defined by your looks and your accessibility to a certain age group.
Which reminds me, last night I finally went through most of the rest of the Steve Martin documentary.
Yeah.
And I know it's been a while since we talked about it. I'd started it, but I hadn't finished it.
Yeah.
And I took on another big chunk. I mean, it's 3 hours long,
yes, you
know, between the two parts. And he, too, like when he was done with stand-up, it's like, I'm done.
Yeah.
And then eventually he becomes this respected, you know, movie star. But there's that little rough period.
Absolutely.
In between.
A lot of these people who go from superstar to like, I want to try this. They're like, no, you're fine. Just keep making us money.
Keep making the haha. Right. A couple of other examples of folks who were very young stars with birthdays today and who have had to ride the roller coaster. Marlo Thomas is 87 today. Goldie Hawn is 79. It's been we're a long way from Rowan and Martin's laugh in, aren't we?
Yeah.
And Icelandic singer Björk is 59.
I'm 59 years old. I'm just completely from Iceland.
So we could have played a little Björk, but instead we'll play something from another birthday girl. Carly Rae Jepsen is 39 today. People are running for cover right now.
Is this her only hit? I think you referred to it as her one-hit wonder. I'm like, really? I thought she had more.
No. Nope, this was pretty much it.
Wow.
I mean, so anyway, call me maybe, kids. This is the day in 1877 when Thomas Edison announced he'd invented the phonograph, a machine that can record and play sound. Do you think when he was hearing this song, he was like, maybe I don't want the phonograph?
Do you think when he invented it, he was like, hey, do I have to execute a piece, an animal to get my point across? Sorry, I really despise Thomas Edison. Sorry.
I completely understand. Let's see. Steely Dan released Gaucho, their seventh studio album, this day in 1980.
I saw a video on this where they were like showing you in your 20s listening to Steely Dan. Like, this is terrible. And in your 40s, you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm that guy. I listen to so much Steely Dan now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. When does that Yacht Rock documentary come out? It comes out at the end of the month, I think.
Yeah, and I guess there's some controversy. There's some artist who is like, I can't remember which one, but someone doesn't like the term or whatever. It's like, dude.
Oh, too much.
Shut
up. Come on. Again, you got to be able to laugh at yourself. You don't get to define all the terms of your fame.
Mm-hmm.
Gaucho also included, besides Time Out of Mind, included Hey 19 and Babylon Sisters, which we heard earlier. On this day in 1995, Billy Joe Armstrong of Green Day was busted by police for dropping his pants and mooning the audience at a concert in Milwaukee. The fine was $141, and the band skipped Milwaukee a time or two on their tours after that. It is my duty to inform you that the number one song this day in 1981 was by Olivia Newton-John.
This song's so good.
I know. Greg Bach got his leggings on, his headband, doing those aerobics. It was the number one song for 10 weeks in 1981. Yeah. On this day in 1976, the movie Rocky made its premiere in New York. And on this day in 1987, Billy Idol had the number one song with a very unique twist. Here was the song. So here's the interesting twist. This, of course, was a remake of a Tommy James and the Shondells song. When Billy Idol charted with it in 1987, the song that he bumped off the top of the charts was from Tiffany doing I Think We're Alone Now. Another remake from Tommy James and the Shondells. So in a way, he had back-to-back number one hits many years later in 1987.
There you go.
Today is National Rural Health Day, the Great American Smokeout, Gingerbread Cookie Day, World Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Day, and World Television Day. No, keep that TV off, keep that radio on. We'll cover much more in the second hour of Up North News straight ahead, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Yeah, 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 yeah.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.